Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey America, I'm Chad Pagano, former Army sniper, chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're about to experience the wild game domain from the hunt to the hearth. It airs live on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm here with my co-host, as usual, Chef Chris Gesualdi. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, Chad?
Not much. We're going to talk about pheasant today. Very interesting. I know you're a bird lover, so I'm very excited to see where this conversation leads us.
The birds I like, though. You won't find them out in the woods.
You sure?
Unless they get away.
What if we stalk them? What if we take them and put them out in the woods?
Then we're going to have trouble.
We're going to have some trouble? Some fireworks?
I'll have to bring your son back.
Chef's a bird lover here. He'll cook them, like I said. He'll prepare them. But he was telling me, what kind of bird did you have?
I had a lot. I had a African gray, green wing macaw, yellow collar macaw, sun conure.
So these are serious.
Couple cockatiels.
These are serious birds. These are real.
If you get them when they're small, they're like the best pets ever. If you buy them in a pet store where nobody paid any attention to them, then they bite you and they get a bad name.
See, now, you know, I'm a hunter, and I have to tell you, a conservationist, that you know, we got to protect all these animals. But to me, birds are soulless. I don't know. I can't imagine them as a pet. My dog, my golden retriever, has a soul, has a personality. He's Molson, you know? A bird?
No, these are not just birds to sit in a cage. They talk. They're very territorial. They'll imitate everybody in your house.
All right, can we bring one in? Maybe we'll interview one.
I don't have any more.
We'll see how they feel about pheasant hunting.
But they're expensive. They're like $1,800 a bird.
Oh, my God. Now, you know, you could go out and hunt approximately 35 pheasants for about $600, right? And they're delicious. How do your birds taste?
Don't eat them.
You don't eat those?
No.
Oh, all right. See, I don't know. I don't know about that stuff. But let's talk about pheasant hunting. Proud tradition across the country. I mean, this is a majestic, beautiful animal. You know, I was joking around a little bit about the birds, but a beautiful, beautiful bird, the ring neck pheasant. I don't know how you would describe it. I mean, just majestic, you know. It's beautiful feathers, beautiful look to the bird. You know, it was imported from, I believe, China in the early 1800s. It was brought to Oregon. It didn't do very well. Spread to the Midwest. I know they brought some birds into the Midwest. Eventually, it found its way to New York. And that's where our tradition of pheasant hunting takes off. You know, since the first hunting season for pheasants was kicked off or designated in, I think it was like 1908, New York sportsmen and sportswomen have held the ring-necked pheasant in highest regard. During the late 60s and 70s, upland game bird hunting for pheasants had really no equal. The cackle of the male pheasant taking off into the air, the flutter of its wings, very exciting. Today, the wild pheasant population, unfortunately, is at an all-time low in New York State. We're in a little bit of trouble. They're doing great out in the Midwest. I mean, some of the most sought after hunting is in the Midwest, South Dakota, North Dakota. Great, unbelievable pheasant hunting.
You don't have a bird call today?
No, no bird call for the pheasant. We got to try to sneak up. I'm going to talk about that. I was telling Chef here, you know, as you know, if you've been listening to the show, I'm a diehard white-tailed deer hunter. Unfortunately, or fortunately for the pheasant, you know, the pheasant season in New York kind of falls right in the middle of my deer season. So I really do very little pheasant hunting. I'm going to you know, say if I get out once, possibly twice a season pheasant hunting, that would be a lot for me.
Your anniversary or your wife's birthday is not during deer hunting season.
No, it's not. You'd have to push, we wouldn't allow that.
You'd push it aside, right?
No, we wouldn't have. Chef, I'm a calculated man. I would not have married my wife.
Okay.
Right?
I get it.
I wouldn't have married her during the hunting season. If her birthday fell during the season, that would have been a problem from the beginning. So you got to think ahead.
Let me get back to those pet birds, though, for one more second.
Please.
The thing that I really liked about them a lot is, like, you're attached to your dog, right?
Absolutely.
Most dogs live, like, 10 to 12 years.
Right.
These birds, the big macaw, like the blue one that's up there.
Yeah.
They can live to be 80 years old.
Okay.
So?
So you get them when you're born. So they should issue them when you're born, because then you might live your whole life with them. What the hell are you going to do with it when you die at 80? You got the bird when you were 20. Bird's going to outlive you.
I'm all about commitments.
Listen,
I'm all about commitments.
They're beautiful animals. I just don't see the person out. Yeah, Polly wants a cracker. I get it. They could talk. They could say certain things. I don't see it, Jeff.
Okay, roll over and play dead. What's the difference?
Good point. Good point. But let's get back to some pheasant hunting here, because I'm very excited. Like I said, it's during the deer season, so I haven't done a lot. I do about 2 hunts a year. I'm actually in a hunting club out east on Long Island, and the name of the club is the Pheasant Run Sportsman's Club. It was founded on pheasant hunting, basically in the 60s and 70s when it was really popular. We have our own fields, and we plant sorghum and other things that the pheasant like, and we stock the fields for hunts. The club has its own dogs. And you could, with your membership to your club, you get a certain amount of birds. So I'll use those birds every year because I'm paying for the deer hunting, really, anyhow. And I'll go out there. And there's nothing more exciting. You know, generally hunting pheasant, it's going to take place in a field generally associated with grain farming. So, you know, abandoned farmland is great. You want something like goldenrod, other kind of plants that are going to hold these pheasants when you do stock them. They're not a woodland species of bird. You're not going to be able to just, pack up your gear and go walk through the Catskill Mountains hoping to stumble upon a nest of pheasants. You really have to hunt the fields. And New York State does a great job stocking every year. New York State stocks approximately 25,000 to 30,000 birds every year. And before the season, they'll put out a list of the farms they're using or where they're stocking these birds. And then guys could go out. And there's a real community to pheasant hunting. Even if you're not hunting like me and on a private club where we can plan out our hunts a little more, if you scout out the sites that New York State has and get out there, guys are willing to share the field. There's no, wide areas, wide open areas. So, a couple of, 30, 40, 50 guys would work these fields kind of in tandem. You show up with your group, you work together. It's a beautiful thing to watch with these dogs, German pointers. You see a lot of golden retrievers, even some labs are used. And the thing about the pheasant, the last thing they really want to do is fly. It's their last mechanism of defense. So they're not an easy animal, even knowing they're in the field. So, like, the example is at my club. They'll take these pheasant. They'll place them. They'll actually go out before the hunt. Someone from the club will go out and place them in the field and basically spread them out. And like I was saying, the average cost, depending on where you're hunting, of course, a group of 4 or 5 guys could chip in. And it's about $600 for approximately 30 birds, give or take. Usually you could get a little more. They give you specials, 5 extra birds, stuff like that. And if there's any leftover birds in the field, you could go ahead and take those too. Because a lot of times hunters will go through and these birds will survive and that's it. They'll have to leave for the day and these birds are out there. But they'll stock the field and then we'll start the hunt. And it's just an amazing thing to watch these dogs, these trained dogs work. These dogs, there's two strategies. Or maybe they're kind of one strategy, depending on how you look at it. There's two strategy to pheasant. And the one strategy is to use the dog as a pointer. So you have these dogs trained. The dog will work the field, locate the pheasant, and simply point to it. Now you walk up on the pheasant and try to flush it. The problem with that, by the time the pointer alerts you to it and you start to walk up, these pheasants have a tendency, if they're not directly or immediately threatened, they have a tendency to run instead of flying. So what they'll do is just kind of run through the heavy cover of the field and stay on the ground. And really, you know, if you're up to your knees in some kind of, you know, some kind of crop, you're not going to see them. You might see the grass fluttering a little bit. So the idea is that we flush them and get them up in the air. That's where the excitement comes from. And they're really an incredibly fast bird. They fly very fast. And so what will happen is we'll use flush dogs, they're called. They're basically pointer slash flush dogs. So they'll point, they'll alert you to the pheasant. And now on a second command, once you're ready, you have your gun at the ready, your shotgun at the ready, they'll go ahead and flush the bird, and the bird will hopefully take off into the air. And that's where it gets exciting, because you have four or five hunters, you know, and I wouldn't call it a race to the bird. You know, there's got to be some organization for safety reasons. But usually if, you know, you're four abreast, the guy to the left of the bird when it takes off is who's got the shot, the immediate hunter left of the bird. So the bird takes off to the left and you go ahead and take it. And now this dog's used to retrieve the bird. The bird might have flown off, you know, a good 25, 30 yards when you take your shot. Now the bird drifts to the ground, and finding these birds is almost impossible without the dog. So now the dog goes in and finds the pheasant. It's very exciting, and it's something you could do. You know, it's very social. Where deer hunting, you know, as an example, I'm a loner. You know, I do my scent control. I'm a maniac about getting out in the woods at 4:30 in the morning. I stay in my tree stand until the sun goes down, and then I get back in my car, I'm exhausted, and I go home. Where pheasant hunt, it's a little different. We go to the clubhouse, we have our coffee and donuts in the morning, we chit-chat, and then we make our way to the field. You're doing your pheasant hunt. You're certainly, you know, communicating with the other hunters and talking as you're working or walking the field with your dogs. So it really builds a community. The upland game hunting community is a tight-knit group of guys. So, you know, and that gets back to hunting even the state lands where they stock them. If you want to get out there, get your small game license and get out there, and you'll see guys willing to work with you. I've never hunted pheasant. No problem. Join us. Join our group. Stay to the left. Walk the field with us. I would love to get Chef out there. Leave your birds at home for safety reasons, Chef. Your precious birds.
I might start taking shots at the dogs. You never know.
See, that's why. That's why he's the chef, I'm the hunter. Yeah. You shoot dogs, right? And if you heard the coyote show, you know how excited Chef was about that with the dogs.
I would never shoot a dog, you know that.
Of course not. You know, so it's a very social undertaking. Like I said, watching the dogs work is really my joy. And really there's a whole industry for these dogs, and I was telling Chris here earlier that, you know, within my hunting club, you know, I would say we're broken down 50% deer hunters, 50% bird hunters, meaning, you know, upland birds, you know, pheasants, chucker, other birds like that. And we also have duck blinds, so we do a lot of duck hunting. You'll see turkey hunting in the fall also out on Long Island. And all this overlaps. When you see these dogs work specifically to what they're trained, you know, the art really, or the style of hunting they're trained in, it's an amazing thing. So we'll have certain dogs that are kind of, you know, good for everything. They're a fine field dog. They could get out there, they flush, they're a little rambunctious, you know, they'll kind of run up on the pheasants a little early. So you got to stay on top of these dogs. But then to watch this dog work a duck blind, you know, when we're duck hunting, and just see his, you know, his personality and excitement to that, where we'll take dogs out of the back of the truck for pheasant hunting. I know this dog is, you know, a Labrador as an example. You know, he'll jump out of the truck and see the field, and kind of you'll see his head drop like, oh man, we're upland game bird hunting, I don't like this. But then when we get to the duck blind a week later, you could see him, his tail's going, he's running around, he cannot wait to get in the duck blind and do some duck hunting.
What's your weapon of choice when you hunt pheasant?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because you talk to certain, what do you want to call them? True upland game hunters, and they're gonna talk to you about their shotguns being an over and under. Side-by-sides are okay. An over and under, if you don't know, is simply a two-stage or a two-shot shotgun where you could load your shells over each other into two separate barrels. So it's two separate triggers to release the shells. And then after two shots, you would obviously have to reload. Because I don't do a lot of pheasant hunting, and I'm not specifically going to go out and buy a upland game bird gun, I use a Remington 870. It's kind of the all-purpose shotgun. It works for everything. It's a great duck gun. It's fine for upland game bird. It's really set up for turkey hunting because I primarily do a lot of turkey hunting. So, you know, some of these guys spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on these rifles, you know, shotguns with inlaid stocks and these wood stocks etched and the beautiful scenery. I mean, they're really works of art. My father has a bunch of shotguns that are just, you know, imported from Italy, beautifully crafted weapons. But, you know, for me, the Remington 870 gets the job done. All right, we're going to take a short break here, and we're going to be right back with the Wild Game Domain on the heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Real Long Way to Go by Brothers NYC on heritageradionetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hey, welcome back to the Wild Game Domain. I'm Chef Chad Pagano, and I'm here with my co-host, Chef Chris Gesualdi. How you doing, Chris?
Still good.
All right. Well, you're up. Now it's your portion of the show here. So, like I was saying, we go out, we'll hunt 36 of these beautiful ring-necked pheasants, and we'll bring them back. And, you know, just Google, you know, pheasant hunt and look at the pictures. Look at the hunters all in their orange, standing behind a line of pheasant. And, you know, when I look at that, especially as a chef or as a conservationist, as a hunter, I start thinking of, oh, man, that's a lot of bird there. What am I going to do with all this bird? And, you know, for me, you know, being of Italian heritage, it's always something very simple, you know, pheasant piccata. You know, I try to think, how would we traditionally use chicken or some other accessible bird and just kind of tie it in with the pheasant. But, you know, to me, and not being, you know, that worldly in my approach to cooking pheasant, I tend to dry it out. I tend to have a lot of trouble preparing, and that's why piccata for me, you know, something like that with a butter sauce, something with a lot of liquid, tends to work for the pheasant. But my man here has been keeping a secret. He won't tell me what we're going to discuss today, so I'm really looking forward to this. What's up, chef?
You know, pheasant naturally is a dry bird. So that's why you're going to see a lot of people, they wrap it up in bacon and stuff like that. But
So like the breast itself, right?
Right.
I mean, overall, it's a dry bird.
It's a dry bird. So you're trying to incorporate fat somewhere else with, you know, bacon or basting.
It's funny because that seems to hold true for a lot of game bird. And is it based on the fat content?
That's, yeah. Exactly.
They're just because they're wild animals, they tend to be more lean than their commercially developed counterparts.
That's why, like, brining has become so popular, because it adds moisture.
Right. Right. To the bird.
Right.
Okay.
But anything that you can do to chicken, I mean, you can southern fried quail, you can do your piccata, anything, roasted whole. But when I worked at Montrachet in the 90s, there was a pheasant on the menu before I got there. It was kind of boring. But, you know, there's a lot of boring dishes on menus.
What was boring about it? It was like roasted pheasant.
That people come back for, you know, they like it, so they're going to come back. Everything doesn't have to be like flashy and exciting.
Okay.
But Keith Hernandez used to come in for that bird all the time.
Are you kidding me?
No, I swear to God. And Rusty Staub used to frequent the restaurant a lot.
One of my favorite Mets.
That was your surprise.
Keith doesn't strike me as a pheasant man.
He loved it. But it was a simple dish. It was with orzo and olives and red wine sauce.
Okay.
And, you know, we broke the chicken down into four pieces.
The pheasant, you mean?
The pheasant, the other chicken. Two breasts off the bone.
Right.
We separated the thigh from the drum. The drum is kind of, has a lot of tendons and stuff in there.
Okay.
So we don't really use that except for, like, sauces and stuff like that. So we just seasoned it with salt and pepper, browned it in the pan nicely, and we did it on top of the stove. It was so small.
So let me, what kind of oil did you use, chef? Be honest. Don't even try to lie.
We always use something with a neutral flavor and high smoking point, like grapeseed oil or sunflower oil.
He won't say canola, because if you've been listening to the show, I've been busting his chops about the canola oil. Okay.
And, you know, you can flour it if you like. You can wrap it in bacon. We browned it on the skin side first, made it nice and crispy, turned it over, basted it while it was cooking. And again, it's one of those birds you want to serve it pretty quickly after it's cooked. After the bird was cooked.
Well, wait, now why? Just based on the dryness?
Just so
the lack of fat.
Doesn't dry out.
So it doesn't dry out. So you would, now, you know, having not worked on your side of the industry, you would have these birds, I would assume, prepped in your station, ready to go.
Ready
and you would
to
have
go.
To cook them to order.
To order.
They're a relatively small bird in the scheme of things, right?
I mean, about a pound yeah. and a half.
So they would go quick as far as cooking them, and then you would send them right out to the customer right
By
out.
The time the sauce was ready and the garnish, it was still hot, ready to go.
So you would brown them in a pan. Now you finish them in the oven?
If you can, if you want, if you needed the space on top of the stove.
Right.
So after the bird was browned and cooked, still moist and juicy, it was basted. We threw away most of the fat in the pan. We left like a teaspoon in there. We added some, like a tablespoon of chopped shallots, 5 tablespoons of chopped olives, no pits. We deglazed with half a cup of red wine and reduced it to dry, to a glaze. We added veal stock, about a cup, and a tablespoon of butter. And we just cooked that a few minutes and let it have a nice nappe consistency.
Nice.
Not runny, not too thick.
Nappe. In my country, that's just the degree of thickness. That's all. It's a way of measuring
it. Coat the back of the spoon.
Right.
And we just served that with sautéed spinach and orzo.
Okay.
And Keith loved it.
Keith Hernandez.
Loved it. We always, even when it wasn't on the menu, we had to make it.
Now, you know, no offense, that seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, just a real classic approach to a pheasant, right? Now, can I do anything? Like what's stopping me from doing a pheasant sausage where, you know, we have chicken sausage. Where
have you forgotten where you live? We can do anything we want in America.
Right, God bless America. It's true, especially, you know.
We haven't said that enough in the last couple of weeks.
Right, that's why we live here.
Long as it makes sense and people are going to want to eat it.
Right, well, it makes a lot of sense to me, especially since it's a very, you're telling me it's a very dry bird.
Makes a great sausage.
Right, so we're going to add
the
fat.
Makes a great pate.
Right, so we're going to be working a lot of fat into things. So I'm thinking sausage. Now, here's my question. What kind of fat would we use? If we're going to mix it in, would we use what?
Most of the time, you're going to go for the pork fat.
Just based on it's going to give you that texture
and
flavor.
Because it melts nice and slow.
Uh-huh.
and it has a lot of flavor.
Okay.
But I would use chicken fat too. Like when I make a chicken burger, I just grind the whole chicken up with all the fat.
Okay. You but chickens have more fat.
You can add butter.
Okay.
Some people are going to probably add some cream.
So really, any you know, I like where you're thinking. Cause
but you know what adds a lot of moisture to things?
What?
That's another fancy French word, if you don't mind me throwing that out there.
That's where you are. You fancy like that.
Panada.
Oh, wow. Hey, explain that.
Diced bread covered with milk.
Right.
You've seen that before, right?
I have.
Even like pot of shoes.
You know what we call
it? Cream puff paste. They put
diced bread covered with milk. That's what we call it here. But I respect here.
But that adds moisture and, you know, helps out things that are naturally dry.
Okay. And any other tips for this bird? I mean, you know, overall, as far as preparation. I mean, it sounds like we treat it within reason.
Treat it like a chicken and right. Don't overcook it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, people tend to do that, right?
The piccata is a great way to go.
Right.
Because you're going to simmer that in the sauce.
Yeah.
It's going to stay, it's tender and it's going to stay juicy.
Right. To an amateur like me, that's the way to go because you have all that liquid just to keep the pheasant, you know.
I mean, it's nice moist. On the grill too.
Really? Now, yeah. See, I would think that's something you would have to prepare it beforehand. Maybe a brine. That would be sound to
you
me
can,
like.
You can brine it, but, you know, any dry heat cooking method. Grilling is nice.
Yeah.
Keep the two breasts together and grill it.
And then what about all this? Like, I've never done it. I guess I should as the, I guess, the outdoorsman, the hunter. You know, this beer can chicken thing they do on the grill? You know, they put a beer can up
there. Yeah, I've seen that before.
And what could we do that? Something fun like that with the pheasant? So I'm out there. I just went hunting. We clean up our pheasant. I'm out. I got the Weber behind the clubhouse. There's always going to be a few beer cans laying around, of course, for after the hunt. Can I take them and do the beer can thing on the
Absolutely.
Pheasant? Throw right on the grill?
Absolutely.
That sounds beautiful. See, we have three or four guys. So we do a lot of hire out pheasant hunts. Guys, just they're not members of the club, but it makes the club a lot of money. These guys pay, you know, top dollar to come in and hunt. And I guess I'm a little ashamed by it, but we eat it. These guys don't even want the pheasant. You know, they just want the excitement of the hunt. So they'll come back with 35 pheasant and say, thank you very much. We had a great hunt, and now we have 35 pheasant laying around.
Tell them to pay me top dollar, and I'll become the resident club cook.
Now, would you happen to know what these pheasant are going for?
Why are you getting off the subject?
No, because I like where your head's at. We're broke, and I know we can't afford you, so why are we going to even waste time here?
Get it from Obama. He'll give
you
some money.
Is there a stimulation?
Yeah.
Is there a stimulant?
One of those bridges that never got built?
See, he's always got to get political at the end of the show. Listen, he's our president. You got to deal with this, Chef.
I'm dealing with it.
He has done nothing to infringe on my rights to pheasant hunt, as far as I know. Right? Because I don't use my AR rifle for pheasant hunting.
Yeah, go out there with your assault weapon and see what happens.
I could. I'm that accurate. I could hunt pheasant with an AR rifle. But, I mean, I'm just worried about where the rounds are going to end up. You know, a nice simple shotgun. Obama, what about the picture on the post, the front page? Obama shooting a shotgun. I would love to have him out for some bird hunting. It would be wonderful.
Yeah, too bad the gun was pointed at Bush.
See, I know I could talk you into coming to cook for me for free.
I would cook. I just won't shoot the animals.
He loves it, which we got to work on.
I'll cook. That's what
Please,
I do.
Please, if you've been listening to the show, can you send some emails about this? The hypocrisy of my co-host here. The cook it, gut it, fry it, eat it, but I won't shoot. That's where I draw the line. I won't hunt it. I won't naturally go get it.
If you talk to me like that, I'm going to the left.
Please, you never go to the left. Anything else, Chef? Any overall? What about freezing, vacuum sealing it? I shoot 36. I'm only going to eat 6.
I mean, if you got a food saver at home, yeah, that works.
Right, clean them up, vacuum seal them, throw them in my freezer. Not a problem, just like any other bird. Okay. Thank you, Chef.
You're welcome.
You know, I just want to say, you know, I know probably half the audience out there is not, maybe more, are not hunters. There's a lot of purveyors out there that could get you a nice farm-raised pheasant, right? Or or you know, a more natural bird, and you know, try it instead of going out to the supermarket and buying a Purdue chicken loaded with hormones and everything else. Why don't we try something a little more natural? Try the pheasant. I think you'll enjoy it. Different flavor profile, different texture. It's gonna put a little twist on your menu. You know, I know a lot of people like me. You're sick of chicken, right? Anything else, Chef? I think we're going to wrap it up here for today.
Yeah. Get creative out there. I mean, pheasant has a very mild flavor. It's not like eating squab or pigeon.
As far as just get back to the brining. Give him a quick lesson on brining, real quick. We got one more minute here. Talk to me about brining, because we mentioned that a few times and we didn't really explain it.
Very quickly, brining is water, sugar, and salt at the minimal. Okay, then you can add spices or whatever you want.
Okay.
But if you want an exact amount, I use 2 gallons of water, one cup of salt, half a cup of sugar. Bring it to a boil, cool it off, and then just immerse your product in there. Like a pheasant, a couple hours, plenty.
Right.
It's already seasoned.
No, I heard this rumor about overdoing it in the brine. It'll dry the bird out further. Eventually, the salt in the brine will pull the moisture out of the bird. Is that true?
Yeah, so the little bird like that, 2 hours is plenty.
Okay. And then once it's out of the brine, now you got a nice moisture level to the bird, and we're ready to prepare in any way we want.
Right.
Really, we don't, you know, we could.
And you've just, you know, if you didn't want to prepare that bird right away, you've preserved it. The salt will.
So just wrap it up, keep it in my refrigerator until I'm ready to use it.
Well, you probably got it like 3 days to the shelf life.
Awesome. All right, Chef.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Culinary genius here. Well, that's all the time we have. I'd like to thank Jack for producing and engineering today's show. You can also find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
You know, the microphone is right. I can plug it in. You can even do crazy things like, hello. Check.
All kinds of cool things built into it. But yeah, it's very convenient. You know, all the bumpers and advertisements are listed right here. And there's all these 128 sounds you can keep on here. So rather than pull it up on a computer, it's nice to just hit the button.
Sure.
Play the ad. Be done with it. Good show, guys.